Okay, 5 p.m. on Wednesday. Time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC.
Double happy hour.
That's right. I'm your host, Tom Ryan. With me, my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan. We do this every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. If we sound a little bit different today, that's because we're doing things a bit differently. We're actually trying to broadcast this from home, see if we can get our show put together. And for me, this is sort of like learning how to do nuclear science. I'm really uncomfortable about trying to do this. I'll be honest, this is about take number 732 trying to do the intro.
It's getting goofier and goofier.
Oh, yeah. But I think we'll be all right. Hope you can put up with us, and I hope that the audio is good. All right. As you know, on Wednesdays, we have been taking a look at albums for quite a while now. We've been, really the whole point is to prove why albums matter, especially in this day and age when albums seem to be becoming something of a dinosaur with everybody doing everything digitally. Albums are going away. And I just want to emphasize how important albums can be, the way that songs relate to one another and such. So we have two series that we're doing simultaneously. We have the top 500 of the top 40, and we have the alternative top 40, which is 500 albums that were not so successful in their time. This album is part of the top 500 of the top 40. In fact, it's a number one album. It was released in April of 1971, the same month as the Rolling Stones recorded released Sticky Fingers, which we just did last week. The album is entitled Four Way Street. It is a live album by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. And it's rather unusual in the fact that it's a live album when they barely had enough studio albums under their belt. In fact, as Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, they recorded one album, and that is the album Deja Vu. And that was about a year before this live album. And then suddenly out comes Four Way Street. It would turn out to be really the last Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young album for nearly two decades. Nobody could have imagined that at the time. The reason I loved this album so much as a kid, it was one of the first albums I ever bought, you know. And they stood for everything about the hippie dream, the ideal of a youth movement. Yeah, it just seemed as though they were like the perfect representatives. They were intelligent, they were political, but there seemed like there was immense amount of love between them all.
A camaraderie.
Absolutely, and they were all so talented as individuals. And it just turns out that, and this album just really plays up the fact of that camaraderie, the way they introduce each other, and they feel like they're a team. And over the years, you begin to just, you know, the stories come out, you're like, they were one of the most like impossible live acts backstage that you could possibly imagine. There were constant fights and arguments. It's legendary, actually, how many fights and arguments there were.
Too many big egos.
Yeah, you got basically four people who all felt like the star. Stephen Stills and Neil Young certainly deserved that. But, you know, Graham Nash was no slouch coming from the Hollies with a bunch of hits. David Crosby, as a member of the Byrds, obviously also no slouch and also not a man of any small ego. So these guys come together, they put out this live album, and they somehow make it seem as though they are at, it's like a big communal birthday party almost. It sounds so wonderful and fun and friendly. And that's cool. What matters is how it sounds, how it feels. So the album is divided into two halves. There's an acoustic half and there is an electric half. It's a double album. The first two sides of the LP on vinyl were the acoustic half, naturally, and that's what we're going to feature today. We're going to look at the acoustic songs, and next week we'll pick it up with the live side. I mean, with the electric side. So what they do in the acoustic side is that each of the members tend to come out solo after they came out as a group. Now they, for some reason, they did not include the entire song of Sweet Judy Blue Eyes. They really just faded up on the last 30 seconds as a means of introducing what is about to happen. And then you'll hear Graham Nash step up to the microphone and introduce Neil Young as he performs On the Way Home. That is where we will leave you now, with Neil Young singing On the Way Home immediately after the fade-in intro of Sweet Judy Blue Eyes on American Hit Radio 90.3 WHPC.
Introduce our friend Neil Young.
All right, so what you heard there was a solo Neil Young version of On the Way Home. It was a song that Neil had made famous already when he was a member of Buffalo Springfield. He released it on the third Buffalo Springfield album called Last Time Around in a very different arrangement. In this case, he's out on stage. Crosby, Stills, and Nash remained on stage to play guitar with him on that song, so they didn't quite break down to the solo thing yet. I think they actually do one more song together, Heidi, before they do start to break off into their solo bits, and that is Graham Nash's hit from the previous album, Deja Vu. Teach Your Children, certainly one of the most famous songs ever recorded by Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Here is a live version of that song, from Four Way Street on American Radio 90.3 WHPC.
This is from our second album. on the road. Must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's health did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by.
Everybody sing with us.
Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you, you would cry. Look at them and sigh. I know they love you.
And you, of 10 years, can't know the fears that your elders grew by. And so please help them with your, they see the truth before they can die.
Teach your parents well, their children's health. If they told you, you would cry. So just look at them and sigh. And know they love you.
All right, so with that rather happy song, or meaningful song, certainly from the, you know, the days of late 60s, early 70s, the song Teach Your Children
was...
It's
got a little bit of nostalgia to it as well.
Yeah, at this point it certainly does.
Well, I mean, you know, like the whole wholesomeness, shall I say, of like family and love.
Which is why I said this album does such a great job of conveying that feeling, right? And that song is perfect for that. You hear all four of them. They're still all on stage together. But this is where that stops, right here at this point. Because now the album takes a significant change and they start playing as solo artists. The first artist to come out is David Crosby. And I've got to admit that he gets two numbers on this album back to back. And they are among the more difficult to appreciate songs on the album. I mean, if you're a David Crosby fan, granted, you're going to be fine with it. But if you are the type of person who loves Neil Young or loves Stephen Stills or even Graham Nash, David's songs can be very deep, weird, and in some ways, I don't want to say off-putting, but...
They're personal to him.
Deeply personal. For example, the first song that he chooses to do on this album is a song called Triad. It's a song about him being in love with two women at the exact same time and trying to convince the both of them at the same time that maybe they should exist as...
As polyamorous.
Yes. And... He wrote the song when he was a member of the Byrds, and the Byrds said, absolutely not, we're not going to release this. And it was enough to basically get David angry enough to begin thinking about his own exit from the band. As the story goes, I'm not positive of this, but I believe that it was eventually more or less done for him anyway. They were as fed up with him as he was fed up with not being able to get his way.
And he's spoken about it in interviews.
So. Yeah, yeah. And in fact, now he even says that he regrets the fact that he was so stubborn and that he was so thick-headed. But at the time, he really thought that this song would have been appropriate in
when it was written. The times, I guess, in some ways.
It was pretty much ahead of its, even then. I mean, for a song like this to come out in 1967 would have been pretty remarkable. So it sat in the can for a while, and David had it. Most people never heard it before. So when it ended up as being the first solo track on Four Way Street, it made everybody raise an eyebrow or two. That's if you were listening closely enough to the words and you got what it was that David was trying to say. Here then, on American Radio, is David Crosby performing his solo version of the song Triad off of Four Way Street on 90.3 WHPC.
I'm not sure what sort of mood David's in, but whatever happens is going to be whatever happens.
A few words of wisdom.
Sheer profundity. I guess we're never sure what mood we're gonna be in ever. I got a song that I want to sing you. I sing it a lot. I don't know, tonight's weird. I'd probably sing it anyway. We have a lot of trouble with that because we write a lot of our songs just right out of what goes on, you know, to us. And about people that we love and stuff and things that happen to us, you know, because like that's what you have to write about if you're gonna get down to stuff that means anything to you. So sometimes it's really hard to sing them too. It's also groovy to do it anyway. You want to know how it will be. In her or you and me. You both sit there with your long hair flowing. Your eyes are alive, your minds are still growing. Say it to me. Breaks all the rules.
schools. But I don't really see why can't we go on as free. You know we love each other, it's plain to see. There's just one answer. Comes to me. Sister lovers, some of you must know about water brothers. Andy and Tan, maybe others. So you see, what we can do is to try something new. That is if you're crazy too. But I don't really see why can't we go on as
was interesting.
Well, you could hear the trouble he had at the beginning of it, right?
Yes.
He's like almost embarrassed to let the song out in front of so many people.
I guess so. He'd been warned about it so many times, and he was so insistent on doing it, and here he is faced with the decision of actually coming out with it.
I mean, obviously, it can't have been the first time that he performed it in front of people, but it sounds like it is at that moment. And that's another reason why this album is sort of crushing when you listen to it. You feel as though these guys are...
It might have been the copious amounts of marijuana involved. I don't know.
That's a big part of it with these guys, too. But I think that it's just a matter of wearing their hearts on their sleeve individually. Now, David gets one more song before he passes it over to Graham.
The baton.
Yeah, exactly. And David decided to come out with a song basically about sailing. It's called The Leisure. It was never released before. So I think this is the only released version of the song anywhere is as it appears on Four Way Street.
Oh, cool.
And it's kind of cool, too, because it's a song about sailing. And it's something that both David and Stephen Stills
have
go
in common.
To and from time to time. They were both avid sailors and loved the sea. I mean, these are the guys who wrote Wooden Ships together.
Right.
And I guess they used like the ocean and sailing as, you know, not just a metaphor for life and poetry, but really as a way to live. So on American Radio, 90.3 WHPC, here is David Crosby performing The Leisure.
Still lying there.
got it long ago. When I awoke this morning, dove beneath my floating home, down below her graceful side in the turning tide, to watch the sea fish roam. There I heard a story from the sailors of the San Ramon. There's another island 8 days run away from here, and it's empty and free. From here to Venezuela, there's nothing more to see. 100,000 islands flung like jewels upon the sea. You and me, I'll see you the next quiet place. I furl my
All right, so David is done, Graham steps out, and he comes up with a song that at this point in time had not been released yet. As I said earlier, Graham Nash's solo album wasn't out yet.
Oh, so it's a lot of really new material for everybody.
Yeah, this song basically, this was around the time of the Democratic National Convention and things that were going on, and Graham Nash was shocked by some of the things that went down, so he opens the song by dedicating it to Mayor Daley.
Yikes.
The song, rightly, is entitled Chicago on 90.3 WHPC.
This is a song for Mayor Daley. Politicians, sit yourselves down, there's nothing for you here.
Such a great song. So important at that point in time when it was written, too. Now, Graham gets a second song. And you could hear David singing along with him on that, because David came out, you know, to support him for the call and response stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
And here is another song that is exclusive to the album Four Way Street. I don't know of any other album that this was released on, but I guess it must have been something new that Graham had in his hip pocket that he brought out. And it's a song simply entitled Right Between the Eyes. Now, before I play it, I should mention that if this was the vinyl days, we'd be flipping the album now.
Yes.
This is the first song on side two. And I'm bringing that up for a reason. When I owned this album, I mentioned this is one of my favorite albums as a kid. And I didn't play side one all that much, the side we just finished.
No?
It was kind of slow moving for me. Side two is one of my favorite sides of all time.
How rare of you.
But I mean, if somebody asked me today to pick my favorite album sides, I am positive that side two of Four Way Street would be somewhere in my top 25, because it's got solo Neil Young and, better than that, solo Stephen Stills, which is still among my all-time favorite songs ever with what's coming up. So stay tuned, folks. But meanwhile, on American Radio 90.3 WHPC, here is Graham Nash performing Right Between the Eyes.
I never believed that you would have tuned and started on the same note, but you could do it.
I didn't believe it either.
He's quicker than most normal human beings, and sometimes I forget. It's very quick. Don't want to play mumbly peg with him, he'll steal your leg.
This is a song about changes that everyone else, you know, goes through at the same time. My head is hanging heavy with the thoughts of him in mind. 'Tis sacrilege for us to take advantage of the blind. So tell before you come to me from out of yonder skies. A man's a man who looks a man right between the eyes. And the pain that we could bring to him, I don't think he could beat. Please don't ask me how I know. I've just been up that street, and all the people living there have been silenced by their own lies. A man's a man who looks a man right between the eyes. From experience, I know how he would feel. Waking up and finding that his one love wasn't real. But the age of truth will soon appear. Aquarius arrives. A man's a man who looks a man right between the eyes.
Right, now, you might have gotten from the beginning of that song, you hear how David Crosby kind of like stepped on Graham's song just as he started to sing it. And it sounds so lovable and cute. I'm saying this album conveys so much camaraderie.
Oh, yes.
That it's hard to imagine that they were having trouble backstage, but that's the beauty of the record, I suppose. All right, so we heard David's bit, two songs. We heard Graham's bit, two songs. Now Neil Young comes out. They introduced him earlier on side one of the record, so it's quite a simple... he just walks out at this point and performs two songs of his own. Songs that had been released in other places. The first song is Cowgirl in the Sand, which was an electric version that lasted 11 minutes long.
Wow.
On one of his earlier solo albums, and followed by Don't Let It Bring You Down off of his previous solo album. We'll play them both back to back here for you. On 90.3 WHPC, here is Neil Young performing Cowgirl in the Sand and Don't Let It Bring You Down.
Guaranteed to bring you right down. It's called Don't Let It Bring You Down. Sort of starts off real slow and then fizzles out all together.
Neil Young there with two, you know, masterful performances, really. The songs are great. This is like why Side 2.
It's funny, you would hear his voice and you would never say, oh, this
classic.
Is, yeah, yeah, it's not like a Frank Sinatra style crooner or anything.
Yeah, well, that's just...
Man, it's good.
Where we are now is at the point where basically my life changed with this next song. It really honestly did. Neil Young sets up this fabulous introduction for one of his oldest friends, Stephen Stills. And Stephen comes out and he sits at the piano and he's such a fabulous musician. He'll play the piano and you'll hear that there's like a little bit of a Latin feel to the way that he plays on the piano. And he plays a song called 49 Bye-Byes, which goes all the way back to the Crosby, Stills, and Nash album. And he lets that run its course. But then he just launches into the very first single that he ever released in his life, the Buffalo Springfield song For What It's Worth. And then he jumps off on this political tangent. And this is where things get crazy because it's so
connected.
It's so exciting. He takes that whole idea of what was happening, what Graham Nash was talking about in Chicago, and Stephen runs with it, but he's making it up as he goes along. And it's the power of that.
He's riffing.
The sheer power of his vocal riffing and making it up. It's hard to even convey how unbelievably powerful this was in its time. But think back. In 1970, right at the dawn of the 70s, conservatism, the politics of being conservative, was about the man, the establishment. And liberalism meant youth. And really, liberalism didn't really even have any sort of a say in politics at this point in time.
Absolutely. They're only just coming of being becoming old enough to vote.
It's just coming of age. And this whole idea of being quote-unquote liberal was about, like, the kids trying to change the world to make something better. There was, like, there was this true belief that things could be good, that maybe we could overcome all of the hardship and the meanness in politics. It was a pipe dream,
hair
no
piece.
Doubt. But you'll hear Stephen Stills basically address it in so many ways, saying that he's not going to fight them on their terms. He's going to fight with love, because if they can't, you know, do it his own way, then there isn't. Then we have no right to do it at all. It means that we ain't learned nothing yet.
Bed piece.
Yeah, hair piece, bed piece, love. You know, basically win with love. And this song absolutely changed my life. No matter where your politics are today, you have to be moved by the intensity of Stephen Stills' performance. I think this is a performance of a lifetime. From the album, Four-Way Street, on American Radio, here is Stephen Stills performing 49 Bye-Byes, America's Children, incorporating For What It's Worth, on 90.3 WHPC.
Right now, thank you. Right now, I'd like to bring out a friend of mine who's been a friend of mine for probably longer than I've known anybody, now that I kind of think of it. He's been a good friend over the years. We've had our ups and downs, but we're still playing together. Stephen Stills.
Say hooray for our side, and we've got to stop and children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. All right, what's going down? Oh, yes. Well, it looks to me like there's a few politicians hanging around, children, perpetrating some kind of myth on us all. All right, talking about what a drag all the kids are, yeah. Oh, because they got the guts to get out in the street and tell the truth every day. Oh, yes. All right, making it a little hot for you, you know. All right. Oh, but you know that we're all just out there proving to Richard Nixon and Spiral Agnew and Richard Daley and all them other, well, whatever you want to call them, that America is still the home of the brave. Oh, yes it is, and you got to be brave, children. How many is it that they shot down already? Something like 17 of us. Oh, but you know we gotta do it. We gotta keep on keeping on. Oh, cause if we don't do it, nobody else is gonna. But you know if we can't do it with a smile on our face, you know if we can't do it with love in our hearts, then children, we ain't got no right to do it at all, yeah. Cause that just means we ain't learned nothing yet. Oh, and we're supposed to be some kind of different. Oh, 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 yes. And I don't know whether I want white America to remember or forget that Jesus Christ was the first nonviolent revolutionary. Dig it. Oh, dig it. Oh, right on. And dig it. Oh, yes. You know that paranoia, it strikes deep into your life. It's going to creep. And it starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line and they're coming, gonna shoot you down. We got to stop. And now what's that sound?
In short, that is why Stephen Stills is my personal hero, my musical god. Everything about that has changed my life. He formulated a political idealism in me that has never gone away. And I was 11 years old. It's amazing to think that could have happened.
My little hippie.
Thank you, Stephen. And thank you, Four Way Street. And thank you so much for listening to us as we played our way through the first half of the album. You're wonderful. Thanks for sticking with us. We'll be back next week. We'll play the electric side. I think you're going to dig it with a 13-minute version of Southern Man and a 13-minute version of Stephen Stills' Carry On, not to mention the live version of Ohio. So come back next Wednesday as we can finish this up. Thank you so much for listening. This has been American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC. We leave you with yet another free love song. Love the one you're with. Take care, everybody. Have a great Wednesday night.
We're going to do one more song, and then we're going to take a 10-minute break and then come back and play electric music and boogie.
This one's called If You Can't Be With the One You Love, Love the One You're With.
If you're down and confused and you don't remember who you're talking to, concentration, slip away, cause your baby is so far away. And there's a rose in the mystic dove, and the eagle flies with the dove. And if you can't be the one you love, honey, love the one you're with. And come on, love the one you're with. Everybody just love the one you're with. And you got to love the one you're with. Angry, don't be sad, don't sit crying over good times ahead. There's a girl right next to you, and she's just waiting for something to do. And there's a rose in the distant dove, and the eagle flies with the dove. And if you can't be with the one you love, honey, love the one you're with. And you got to love the one you're with. And come on and
love the one you're with. And I'm right now to love the one you're with. Oh, she's a girl, and you're a boy. But get it together, and make it nice. You ain't gonna need any more advice. And there's a rock in the twisted blood, and the eagle flies with the dove. And if you can't be the one you love, honey, love the one you will. Love the one you will. Love the one you win. Oh, yeah.